Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, and welcome to the Amateur Otaku Podcast. I'm your host today, Isaac Wolf, and today is a special day because we have an awesome guest here. It's the voice of Rudy Soul, Ryan Colt. Welcome to the stream, sir.
Thank you so much for having me. Hello.
It's a pleasure. Like I said, it's fun having you around. It's not often that you get to interview a major voice actor for one of the major anime movies. So, shucks. And also,
I'm just a regular old dude.
And also joining me is my partner in crime, Brandon Alvarado. How's it going, buddy?
It is awesome. And I'm so excited to be able to talk to someone attached to one of my favorite animes. So, Ryan, welcome to the Amateur Otaku Podcast.
Thank you so much, Brandon. Both of you guys, Isaac, Brandon, you've both been so kind. And I am very, very much honored that you wanted to chat with this silly goofball. So thank you for having me.
Yes. Yeah. And I love how you treat us with the respect and honor of wearing the equivalent of your bow tie on this tie event, which your own anime avatar, which of course, in your case, is perfect.
Well, you know, you gotta do it right, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But the general idea is that we sort of like we first talk about the general feelings about the movie and all, and then we have some question for you, if that's okay.
Absolutely, sure.
And I want to start asking you, the voice actor, this is sort of a semi thought slash of the project and all that, but how was it with the project as working with the project and then seeing the project, so to speak, and that entire thing?
So the two parts. Okay. Because it's definitely two different feelings. Yeah. Working on it in general was insane because it's been my favorite show for a very long time. So I never, for a lot of reasons, I never thought that I was actually going to be a part of it. You know, not for anything personally, just logistically, so many reasons how the industry was working. And I hadn't worked with Funimation until kind of, you know, really early into the pandemic because remote recording changed a lot. So it was surreal. It was incredibly surreal, let alone, you know, this specific role that was really incredible and the film being so special. We kind of like did it really quickly. We worked on it in like 2 weeks. It was like 12 or 13 hours over 2 weeks. So it was this kind of like storm. And I feel like I'm still trying to process the whole last month and a half, you know, because so much has happened. And then seeing the actual film in theaters and having the premiere and even seeing it subbed in theaters, like there was just it's kind of a constant well of emotions. I mean, I got very emotional every single time I've seen the film. And I probably will every time I watch it. So it's been surreal.
What do you think is as a man, you said that you're a My Hero Academia fan. So an obvious question is, what do you think, what the reason that My Hero Academia connects with you and all?
A few reasons. The simple ones at first, you know, I grew up a big fan of superheroes and comic books and things that I still love to this day. And I've also grown up just watching anime and reading manga. So it was kind of this, like, these two things that I just loved getting combined in just the right way. And I actually put it off for a little while. Because I didn't read it. I watched it first when I experienced it at all. But I also avoided it for a minute because it was kind of this thing that people were... They were hyping it up so much that I was like, it's almost too much for me to like to go up against, you know, like I was almost afraid to try it because I was like, what if I don't enjoy it or something? And I remember I finally got around to watching it just around, I want to say like season 3 was ending, and I like started to binge all that, and I just immediately fell in love because it was, you know, it was all the obvious things up front: superheroes, anime, fun, beautiful artwork, really well-defined characters, even just visually. The music was awesome. Like aesthetically, it was like an immediate kind of like it pulls you in. But the first episode had this humor and this heart and this kind of palpable just emotion that I had not felt watching something in a very long time. And, you know, usually with anything that you watch, any kind of show, or even like if you're playing a game, it's usually like the first episode or the first few hours of a game or whatever can take a minute for you to start to really care, because you have to understand who the characters are. You have to understand the world and the rules and, you know, get a grasp of things before you can feel something. And I think the story and the show so well define that emotional state immediately in the pilot episode. And I was like, oh my God, I'm hooked. Like, I don't know these people yet. I don't know what this story even is yet, but I'm in love with how they're telling this thing. And it made me, I mean, Midoriya is such an endearing character, you know? So yeah. I fell in love with him immediately in his journey. And it's that thing that the show has continued to harp on in such an amazing way, which is really the test of time that makes me love the show consistently and love the story consistently, is it's a show about love and confidence and teamwork and belief and being there for people that maybe can't be there for themselves. And that reminder that being a hero isn't necessarily about having superpowers. It's about making choices every day in the smallest of ways or whatever kind of way that we have in our lives to make someone else's life better, to make society better, to make our immediate space better, to make ourselves better. It's a show about growth and promise and joy, you know, and it's wrapped up in all this big explosive superhero stuff. So it's like, it's just this amazing combination of things.
Yeah. So you would say that, that's a, that, so you would argue that that's, that is why the, do you, sorry, I lost track of words here.
No worries. I think I know what you're saying. It's like why that resonates with people.
Yeah. So that's a. So you think that? You think that's a. It, how should I put it? Sorry.
It's okay.
When it comes to Rudy, it was so. How was the feeling when you voiced Rhoded and considering the type of character is with the feelings you have about the series, did it become an all?
It was. It was a flush part, of emotions.
Yeah, the second part is so to speak. Is there anything special that with Rhoded that you can see yourself in, or helped you grow as a voice actor?
Absolutely. I mean, there were a few. That's a great question. I mean, one, you know, the first, to answer the first part, you know, getting cast as Rhodey, getting to play Rhodey, getting to be a part of this series at all meant so much and means so much to me. It really, especially now that the character has, you know, been experienced by so many people and he really resonates with other people too, that means even so much more, you know, that they get it. They get why I connected. I feel like we all kind of understand the same connective tissue of what makes this character special and what makes his story special. And it was that thing of like, I mean, I was just honored to audition, you know, for the show. I never thought in my wildest dreams I'd ever even get a chance to read for it. So that alone, I was like, this is the greatest honor. Like, I don't care if I get, you know, like I wanted to get cast in anything, but I was like, even if I never get cast, just like Colleen giving me the opportunity to read and giving me the opportunity to be heard meant so much to me because she didn't know who I was. And when I got cast as Rhodey, I was very, very emotional and really genuinely shocked. Like, cause I didn't think anybody would give me that kind of opportunity, you know? And so it blew my mind. And to answer the second part of it, I learned a lot. You know, this was the first role of this kind of magnitude that I've had to work on in you know, my very beautifully fortunate and short career so far. So it's been a whirlwind and a learning experience. Is, you know, every job is a learning experience. But Colleen is such an extraordinary director that she like does this incredible tightrope walking that makes it seem like it's effortless, but she's doing so much because she's paying attention to so many things and she cares so much. And her understanding of nuance of what the characters need and how to approach a scene, it, like she could say just the tiniest of adjustments and I would understand what she meant and what she was looking for in a moment. And you know, the character himself, he's so dynamic throughout the entire movie. He really covers the full spectrum of emotions from crazy joy, you know, manic insanity, you know, anger, pain, fury, humor, you know. He's shy, he's empathetic, you get everything. And and they even give him a little bit of this like Looney Tune kind of like, you know, he almost feels like another character, you know, it from another show sometimes in like the coolest way, and it still works. It's like Wile E. Coyote or something, you know. And all of that was such a, like, to do that, to do those scenes, you know, it was a real like lesson in just acting and performing and timing and energy. And I learned so much from this job. And our engineer, Alyssa, also is a major, major reason why everything is so special. She really has like laser focus and controls the tempo and understands, you know, like sometimes we would do something and she would just notice the tiniest micro, you know, thing that like the tiniest flap in the mouth at the end of a scene. She'd be like, oh, maybe there's this thing. And we'd click back and be like, oh, there is that thing. Let's fill that in. You know, like really amazing teamwork throughout the entire process of making this film.
That is awesome. And you know what's interesting, because I don't want to forget this, because I thought about something that's so smart and I feel horrible because I patted myself on the back. So would you say that Colleen is your All Might to your Izuku?
Oh, for sure.
Come on.
You know what's funny? Also, I want to say I also learned a lot from Justin, because he had recorded a good chunk, like the way that we had the movie scheduled, he would usually like go in like the day or so before and do like whatever scenes we were working on. So a lot of the time when I was doing the sessions for my scenes, he had already recorded his lines and they had him, you know, in my ears. So not only did I have him just performing and that helped, you know, give me something to perform off of, it also was just so incredible hearing his choices, you know, in the booth and being like, wow, like this kid is so good. He's so good.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I mean, it's one of those shows. I mean, if I may, it's one of those shows that it's funny how I was hearing you describe my hero and how connected you are to it. And it's like, damn it. I'm not alone. because this show is so good. Like I tell everybody, what's my selling point for this show? I tell everybody every time I see the first two episodes, I cry. Like, I
guess, it,
like,
oh, 100%.
Those first two episodes are like the best pilot I've seen probably in my life, almost of any medium, because it tells you everything you need to know about what this is about. You know what I mean? Like,
I showed it to my buddy in a car the other day. We were parked out somewhere because we were having to wait for something, and I literally just brought up the Funimation app on my phone. And I was like, he hadn't seen the show, and he wanted to see the movie because he wanted to support me. And I was like, let me just show you the first two episodes. We got time. And I mean, I almost cried in his car, like in the middle of the afternoon, because it's just, there are some moments still, especially, you know, once you go back to and you've like really experienced these characters, like it's so potent. And it's cool because there's also a lot, you know, that's changed in these characters. They've grown so much, and the performances have grown so much. But it's magic. The show is magic.
I was thinking of a follow-up question to the whole learning thing.
Sure.
Christina Wee is voicing the young Rhodey in the flashback, but also your companion.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Did you collaborate? Did you collaborate with her about the character? You try to find a voice and her.
So what happened that was really cool about all of that is, one, I adore Christina. I think she's an extraordinary talent and an extraordinary human. And she and I became friends like kind of during the pandemic, because so much of anyone that I met in this career has kind of been throughout the pandemic, because a lot of the stuff that I, you know, started to announce was was kind of in the middle of 2020, you know. So I was getting to know a lot of people in this community digitally for a long time, and Christina was one of the first to really reach out and be really kind and supportive way before we were ever working on this or anything else together. And we became buddies, and I didn't know that she was Pino until I had my first session.
Oh, that's and awesome.
I was recording, and she had already recorded all of Pino's stuff, actually. So she had done all of the chirps and flutters and all those amazing sounds and things. And so I had the session, and I was hearing all these things, and I'm just like smiling ear to ear in the session, because, you know, those sounds are just pure joy. And Colleen told me who it was, and I was so, like, it filled my heart with joy, because she's such an extraordinary actress. And I feel like also her creature work is really unique. And we both have different backgrounds and things, but we have we're Middle Eastern in different ways. And that was really special. And actually what was really funny is Colleen originally, you know, because when you watch any anime that is dubbed, especially, anytime a character is portrayed younger, it's usually portrayed by a different actor, and it's usually an actress. So it tends to be the norm to do that. And Colleen wanted to at least try to have me voice young Rhodey originally. So there was a period before we even started recording where she actually had me basically like audition for young Rhodey. And like after I had already booked Rhodey, and it was really funny, because she sent me this email, and she's like, hey, so, you know, and I already, this is something where it's like, we all kind of just know how this works with voicing the younger characters. So she was like, hey, you know, Rhodey's got a couple of lines in these flashbacks, and normally we do it, you know, this way, but like, we thought let's see if you can sound young enough, you know. So I go for a version of it, and I send it off to her, and she's like, yeah, you know, let's try it. She's like, we'll keep you as young Rhodey for now. And she's like, but in the same email, she's like, but please don't be mad if I recast young Rhodey and you see the movie and it's not you in that part. I was like, I will not be mad. I was like, that is so funny.
It's like, so you got me the gig that was already yours.
Yeah, I was like, I was like, I didn't even think that this part was like, I kind of assumed if there was Young Rhodey, it would be someone else. So I was like, this is all very sweet of you to even like give me this chance, you know, to try. And to be honest, I didn't think it was a good fit anyway. Like, as young as I could get him to sound, it didn't feel right. You know, for what this needed to be, like, it wasn't supposed to sound cartoony boy. Like, it had to sound, you know, like a genuine age difference. And
right.
What I loved, especially because if you listen to his siblings, you know, it would have sounded really drastic in age, you know, and, or it just would have sounded forced. And that's not what we're trying to do here. We, you know, it's about the whole thing being done right. And I think it was actually really special that, and it felt right that Christina voicing Pino also would voice Young Rhodey for a lot of reasons. Yes. And I think she did, without even any of us talking about it. I'm sure her and Colleen talked about it, because obviously, but I didn't speak to either of them about it. So I do want to talk to Christina and ask her, but you know, when I saw the movie and I heard her Young Rhodey, I was like, I could hear her doing like a take on me, you know, like it was interesting. I could hear the little like rasps and things she was putting in there, and I was like, oh, that's so cool. So I really loved it. I love it. It's special to share it.
Yeah. It's not often that you can. Yeah.
So and she's a rock star, man. Like,
yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, if I may, I wanted to ask you a couple questions real quick.
Sure.
And, one of the things that I love about my hero is not just that it's awesome, but also it's because of how it explores the politics between heroes, the philosophy of what heroes are. And it does it in a very nuanced way that I think a lot of Western influences haven't really done, without getting gritty. Like noir or whatever.
Right. Well, like, it doesn't do the thing where they're like, we're, you know, they don't make it dark for the sake of.
Correct.
Yeah.
Doesn't lose, like, it's able to explore, especially, I don't know if you've been reading the manga.
I haven't been reading ahead. So like I know some crazy things have been going down lately, but I think what you're touching on, like, season 4 is a great example of.
Yes.
Season 4 is like pretty dark, but it is not dark for the sake of being dark. It's a really, it's a story that, if anything, expands on the world and expands on the kinds of characters that exist in this world and the politics that exist in this world and how complicated the feelings of all of this is to like have quirks exist. And I love, and I mean that season, to me, one of my favorite episodes, or like, you know, pair of episodes in like the entire show, Justin Cook and Kyle Hebert doing Kirishima and Fat Gum together doing like the was it the sword and shield, like,
yeah,
the, you know, the, that shield and spear, whatever, that like, you know,
yeah, that's when they're invading the Shihazaikai headquarters.
Yes.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I mean, that whole like sequence of episodes is amazing, but their episodes in particular are so powerful, and their performances are so great, and it like it really stands for like what the show is in a really dark place where it's all about this light, and I thought that was so cool.
Yeah, and it's funny because it goes back to the beginning of the episode, the first episode that pretty much sets the tone for the show. It's like it's not a show about people with powers. It's about people. It's a show about characters and people that make heroic decisions.
Yes.
That take heroic action. And I love how, and I think that's one of the biggest things that I loved about this movie, because apart from the fact that I think this is the most roller coaster My Hero movie I've seen of the three.
For sure.
Like, this one is like a nonstop, in your face, always moving, fast paced.
So much is happening and it's all over the place.
Yeah. When it gets close to the climax, and when it gets to your character, which I find awesome, is that his final choices are all about that particular idea, about that particular theme.
Yeah.
And I'm going to throw this out there, and I don't mean to, but it's like, how does it feel to be the flag bearer of the themes of my hero in this movie. Like, because that's like a huge responsibility. Dude, no,
I mean, that to me, 1000% is the responsibility. And honestly, is the biggest honor of all, because
that's awesome.
Those are my favorite things about the show. And it's the thing that, like, even just like forgetting about the show, even just as a person, as an actor, as, yeah, really, really just as a human being, like, those are the kinds of things that I want people to know in their daily life, you know, like, it, yeah. It has nothing to do with this job. And then there's the idea of, like, it's like so many levels, because there's that, there's then as an actor, it's rare you ever get to do, regardless of how awesome and fun and amazing this career is and how much stuff can impact people. It's rare that you get to do something this special with this kind of a message that has this kind of reach, like, and then get to be the one to carry that message, you know. And there's a lot of there's a sense of responsibility to not just the fans, but the creators of all of this, you know, the people at Funimation who trusted me with this, everyone who looked at me and was like, yeah, I think he could, you know, we can give this guy a shot to, you know, like there's so much there that, like, you know, on one hand, it seems like it's like you're just being cast in a thing. But, like, I immediately felt the weight of, like, how many people had to, like, say, okay, you know?
Yeah.
And it really, it's always going to be special. This will always mean so much to me. And I hope that Rhodey and this message and everything stays with people, because I want our world to be more compassionate and more kind, and people to be more heroic and not have to think that it has to be, you know, some extraordinary feat, because so much is, you know, so much that you do on a ground level is extraordinary.
Yeah. Isaac?
I was just thinking, Brandon has asked so much. It's hard to keep track at time, but
I also tangent.
It's all right. It's all right. But
that's Pino talking. No.
Yes.
Yes, but is there any favorite thing about Rhode that you?
Oh yeah.
And what's, you know, that?
It's his resilience. It's being a survivor, you know, it's being a provider, you know, it's the fact that even in the darkest of scenarios, he made it work for his siblings, even if it wasn't glamorous, you know. He maybe didn't even necessarily feel prepared, excuse me, or feel confident or capable, but his resilience and his scrappiness and his will, his sheer will and need to provide and all of that is so powerful to me.
Nice.
Yeah.
That was actually a question that our Twitter follower Lexi made. Yeah. That was at
Thank you, Lexi.
At Lexis _ Dino on Twitter. And she actually has a pretty nice photo of Rhodey in her page, so you might want to check it out later. I'll send you the different people that send questions.
Yeah,
I'll send
you
all the different Twitter handles so you can check them out.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you all for asking questions. Anybody who is, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, Lexi.
Yeah. I like it when you talk about it. I am still the oldest brother. I know exactly what you're talking about with the trying to feel the need to protect my siblings at all costs. It's just, I don't know if you have siblings
I have a younger sister.
Yeah.
And
she came to the premiere, actually.
Wow.
That's nice. Nice.
Ah, you both cried together. Come on.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. No. I mean, we cry together over, like, normal stuff. So, like, this was an easy cry. Yeah.
See, this is what real men do. They talk about anime. They talk about the times they cry watching anime.
Oh, I cry all the time.
And
I cry,
they share it. Yes.
I cry playing video games. I cry watching movies. I cry watching movies that you wouldn't think you should cry over. Like, I'm one of those people who just, like, I get very emotional over storytelling and experiences and things that resonate. Like, things hit me pretty deeply. So it's like, and I'm, whether or not it's a good thing or not, I very much wear my heart on the outside. So.
Yeah, so, I can totally understand.
People say crying in the club, you know, what is it like?
Now, go ahead, Isaac.
Yeah, I was just, you can, Brendan wants to ask some Twitter question now, if that's all right.
Yeah, I got a couple of Twitter questions. So you want to go through them?
Sure, let's do it.
Cool. So our good friend from Geekly Goods, he has an awesome YouTube channel where he does a bunch of reactions and stuff. Leo Rydell, he asked, do you foresee Roddy Soul coming back to My Hero Academia in any capacity?
Oh, gosh. I mean, you know, all one can do is dream at this point, because I have, you know, no control over that stuff. And you never know how these things work. I mean, normally with the movies, you know, it seems like the characters stay in the movies. Mm-hmm. Honestly, regardless, like, it's been such a gift, and it doesn't, like, it's not like he goes away, you know what I mean? Like, he's still here, like, and he's still very much with people, and some people haven't even met him yet. Like, that's what's so wild, you know? Like, there's still so many opportunities for people to still experience him for the first time. He's, I mean, I couldn't be so selfish as to ask for more when I've been given something so bountiful.
And I get what you're saying, because these kind of characters, especially this particular, I think this franchise has a particular effect, because it combines it so many. Yeah, exactly. So, like, this Roddy's not going away.
No, I think regardless, he's connected with people on such a level that, I mean, the amount of, you know, we touched on it before, but the amount of cosplays and artwork and stuff from the get-go, like, genuinely, like, it's overwhelming, you know, like, it's incredible. People are so talented, and it's so cool seeing them connect to him like that they want to connect to him like that.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, Horikoshi himself did a celebration.
I saw it's yeah. I mean, like, don't think I didn't see.
I mean, only the creator of My Hero.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, and that to me, honestly, like, that to me in itself, just knowing that he likes the character means so much. And it's like, it's so cool. This whole thing is so surreal and wild to me. Like, it still doesn't even feel real. Like, I'm looking at this picture. I'm seeing it scroll across the bar. I did the thing. Like, none of it fully has, like, registered. Awesome. Still. That's emotionally. Awesome. So, like, it's very weird.
I think, I mean, I don't want to pry, but I think it has to do about the fact that you were a fan first. Like, it was a world that you loved, and they just opened the door for you to love it more. And that's just, and I think that's the best thing about these.
That's a really, I love the way that you phrase that. That's a great way. They opened the door for me to love it more. That's awesome.
Yeah, and you're the kind of awesome dude that allows us to keep loving it more, because don't think us fans don't see the dedication. Like, we do get those things. That's why we go from just watching a show because it's awesome, and then watching shows to be like, oh wait, this guy's here too. Let's go look at that. You know what I mean? Which is awesome. So kudos.
I mean, it's been so wild. You know, like, even really even before this film, and definitely since. People just have been so incredibly kind and supportive of me having this career in ways that, like, literally every day blows my mind. Like, I wake up and I'm like, this can't be real. It's so wild. Like, doing this job, period, getting to be able to do this job, that other people hire me and let me do this job, that alone is extraordinary. And I feel so fortunate. And then on top of that, to have had such support and kindness and generosity and cool, like everyone is so inspiring. Like, I'm legitimately inspired by you guys, and like, all I'm from these podcasts, everything you guys do, it's you put in so much time and effort into these things, just as much as any of us do, you know, working on this stuff in some ways. And it's like, it's so cool. The devotion and the care is equal. And I still am kind of like, I can't believe, you know, like, why do people, you know, like, you know, why are people paying, you know, like, it's weird to me. Like, cause I just feel like I'm just lucky to be doing a thing that I love. And to know that anyone's enjoying that at all, that means so much. And it's so bizarre to me. It's hard to process, you know, and it just makes me want to work harder. And, you know, it doesn't scare me, you know, knowing that people are like aware a little bit now. Cause like, I still feel very much like, you know, nobody really knows who I am, you know, which is kind of cool. But it's this thing of like, I know that the people that are rooting for me and paying attention, like I want to do right by them. Like, and anybody that shows up, it's like, you know, welcome to this crazy family. Like I want to do right by you guys. And, you know, cause I still love this stuff. So it's like, I want to give it the best that I can. And, you know, it's like, you know, Shin Megami came out this week and I've been playing it, or last week rather, and I've been playing it. And like, it's so cool getting to play something that I, you know, I got to be a part of. One, because like I was already excited about that game and getting to do that and being like, I'm going to put everything into this and then I'll get to play it. That's crazy. And now I'm getting to play it. And I'm like, this is so wild. And then everybody else's performance in that game is so good. And again, I just beam every time a character talks in something that I know someone, I'm like, oh my God, like it's so cool. This career, this community, from fans to everyone on the industry side to anything in between, it's been such an extraordinary ride. And like, we're just getting started. So this whole thing is incredible. I'm so grateful.
So I got some more questions for you.
No. Okay.
So our good friend Michael Thomas at Novice Cinephile.
Hello, Twitter, Michael.
He says, what would this – oh, this is an awesome question. What would this movie be like if it was a road trip with Bakugo and Rhodey instead of Deku?
That would be so interesting.
That's a loaded question, if there's any.
That is a loaded question. But I'll tell you what. I bet you – because, like, you know, we really we don't get to see them interact too much in the film. I had this weird feeling that they would have, like, at first they'd probably have a kind of antagonistic relationship, but I feel like they'd get along. I feel like one, there's no competition factor in the sense of like, Bakugo's like, this kid ain't going to be a pro hero. You know what I mean? Like, he's not even concerned about that. And I think he'll kind of like, he would dig the survivor side of Rhodey. Like, I think he'd be like, you're scrappy. Like, I like you. You're kind of crazy. You know, I think they would like get each other. They definitely get into a lot more trouble together.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
For sure. I think any of the pairings would be fine. I would love to see him and Todoroki. It would be so funny. Todoroki would just be like sitting, I feel like, you know, like on the road, like just trying to like read a magazine or drive like or something, and Rhodey would just be like causing chaos along the way.
I can only imagine all Bakugo and Rhodey on the road trip, right? And then every time Rhodey tries to do something sneaky, all you see is explosions in the far end.
Yeah.
And that's just Bakugo trying to make a point. Like literally screaming, stop making me save you.
All kinds of stuff. Yeah, it'd be hysterical. Awesome. I would love, give me just a one shot of Rhodey with everybody.
Nice.
That would be awesome. Him. I want to see like, yeah, weird. Give me like, you know, little one shots with every character would be hysterical.
I have a crazy question.
Hit me.
Since Pino is the manifestation.
Hold on. Before, you know. Are we going into, is this a spoilery podcast?
No. So Pino being who it, well, actually, now that I think about it, I'm going to hold off.
Yeah, I'm going to hold off that question.
Okay. I'm glad I jumped in. Okay.
Thank you.
You know, it's so interesting because like, I want to talk about so many things about this movie and these characters. There's so much that I've yet to like talk about with anybody, you know, at least publicly in this way. And
the movie's still out everywhere, which is so weird.
The movie's still out. People are still seeing it. A lot of people still haven't seen it. And then there's a lot of people in different countries that aren't even getting it yet. So it's like, I'm trying to be really sensitive about like I'm happy to have these conversations, but I want to make sure that they're in either frames or in places, know that, hey, this is going to be spoilery or whatever, you know.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting now that you mentioned that? It's like, I think this is the longest running My Hero movie in the States in theaters.
Really?
Yeah, because I think because Two Heroes was one of those like Fathom events that was like a 1 weekend or 2 weekend thing.
Right, right, right.
And then I think Heroes Rising was similar, but this one has been in theaters for almost the entire month.
Yeah,
like since it came out, it's been like 3 weeks. Yeah,
it's incredible. I didn't realize because I thought it was going to be limited, and
it's still going on.
I look. I actually check every day because I'm like, it's got to be like wrapping up, and I'm sure it'll be gone by the end of November. But it's incredible. Yeah, it is surreal. I mean, we were number four, you know, opening weekend behind Dune and like huge movies. I was like, this is insane. This is insane.
Yeah.
That's so wild to me. And talk about my mom and dad and sister and everybody being happy. Like, you know, that's the stuff that like you want your family to be happy over. That's the stuff.
So, and then I also have one more, and I think this sounds really good to start wrapping up.
Sure.
Sierra, the sleepless girl. That's her tag.
That's a great tag.
Yeah. At Sierra_A727. She has two questions.
Sure.
And I'm going to switch them up because I think they work interesting enough. So the first question is, did you encounter any challenges? Did any challenges come to you when thinking about Rhodey's character and or in the recording process? If yes, what were they?
Oh yeah. There's a few things as far as I guess on both. I think the challenge for me, it just in general of doing the part was a weird mix of like putting my fanboy away, being really, you know, aware of like this was going to be put on big giant screens all over the country and like not letting that freak me out during the sessions. You know, really just trusting Colleen, even though we had never met and didn't meet during the process, because she was still in Texas recording me remotely, and I went to a studio here in LA, and you know, they just plugged in from Funimation in Texas. So it was a lot of like, And it was an immediate, like, you know, we had an immediate friendship regardless and everything because she's extraordinary. But it was just that, like, there was just a lot of, like, trust, you know, overall throughout the process and having to, like, I would leave every session. I was like, they're going to fire and replace me for sure. You know, like, it was just one of those things, like I just, you know, because it just all didn't feel real to me. So, and I just wanted it to be great because I care so much and I knew how much people cared about it. So that was all kind of a challenge in a weird, like, mental way.
The pinch factor. You had to pinch yourself every morning.
You know, because I already talked about the, like, other challenges before. So it really is a combination. And then on top of it, because we were remote, even though I was in a studio, when you are doing remote, you're still sending stuff digitally over. You know, there's so many elements that are, you know, a lot of things that we've been dealing with overall with remote recording that people don't think about is Colleen's in one place, Alyssa, our engineer's in another place, and I'm in another place. And all of us are operating off of these different systems, different time zones, different speeds, different internets, all these different things. So it's like everyone's getting the picture and the timing and everything at slightly different times. Like it's a lot of like puzzle work when you're having to do it this way. So it was fascinating. There were times like, you know, there would just be tech hurdles to deal with during sessions that we would have to work around. And it was just an incredible team effort. You know, they really just, they're extraordinary. And they made it work. And the team at the studio here that I worked at, a studio called Dave and Dave, really wonderful, wonderful people. Just an incredible crew that just made everything work. Any time we had a tech issue, like they found a way around it, and we finished this movie. I think we actually, because I was pretty, I'm pretty sure I had one more session scheduled, like because we had like planned, you know, ahead, like, hey, there's, you know, X amount of hours to do, and I remember we wrapped, and I still had another day in the books, and Colleen was like, oh, well, I guess we don't need that day, and I was like, It was like I wasn't prepared to end that day. You know, it was so, yeah, so wild.
And in her last question,
sure,
is in your performance as Rhodey, and I think we kind of talked about a little bit of this, but I think this question gives it a nice round out. You know, in your performance as Rhodey, what were some of the feelings and messages you wanted to convey to the audience? Like, what was, apart from carrying the My Hero torch, right? What was something that Ryan wanted to say?
The biggest thing for sure is that you can survive, you know, that you could be a survivor, that you are resilient. And I think what's the most beautiful part about it is we've been living through and have lived through hopefully the bulk of this horrific pandemic. And if there's anything that people have learned subconsciously or very presently before this movie even came out, that I think just doubles down on the message, is like, hey, you've made it. We've all made it. You know, many haven't for a lot of horrific reasons, but we've made it this far. And there are many days when all of us feel beat down, even just emotionally or just tired from the state of the world in so many different directions, tearing itself apart, it seems. And it's like, every day that you wake up and find something to do to make yourself happy and someone else happy, and just period, every day you wake up, we're winning and we're resilient and we're here. And Rhodey stands for that so, so prominently. So to like, to be able to share that with people as a reminder is everything.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Isaac, anything else for our guest?
No, I don't have any more questions that I can think about. So,
oh man, dude, this was awesome.
Thank you, Ryan, so much.
We're pinching ourselves.
No, it's been so nice chatting with you. You're both so kind, and everybody who's written in questions, everyone's been so kind.
Yep. Yeah, everybody's been awesome, and thank you so much for spending time with us. When Isaac told me, Brandon, I'm nervous. Why? I think I just spoke with someone that wants to talk with us. Who? A My Hero person. It's like, what? I was losing my mind. So that was like, it was so awesome. Thank you for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
We look forward to probably having you in the future. And you know what's funny? Just like we were talking before, one of the shows that I've been kind of curious about for a while now, and now I'm definitely going to watch, is Moriarty the Patriot.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw that you're attached to it, and now I'm like, I got to go check out my boy Ryan. I got to go see what he's doing over there.
John Watson. Yeah, dude. Yeah. I mean, if you're a Sherlock fan at all, it's phenomenal. I mean, because I'm just a nerd for Sherlock in general.
Yeah.
So I really – it was another, that was another pinch me job, you know, like that was another one that like, because funny enough, I remember also seeing like over a year ago, you know, promotional like images for Moriarty the Patriot when they were showing off Sherlock and Watson and Miss Hudson. And I just remember thinking like, oh wow, that looks rad, but never assuming like I would ever get to read for it. And when those auditions showed up, I was like, oh my God, I need to book this, because I've been such a Sherlock fan my whole life. And John means a lot to me. I've always loved John Watson too. He's one of my favorite characters in literature. Yeah. So to get to portray John Watson in an anime, let alone a really beautiful one like this, with such a stellar cast and Raleigh Pickens, amazing voice director, it's the whole thing is just such a dream. This whole career, man, has been wild. It's been wild.
Yeah. And so, what are you gonna say, Brandon?
No, go ahead, Isaac. Go ahead.
I was just gonna like I said, thank you again, and let's hope we can maybe take a chat some more on another future project.
I would be honored. Thank you, friends.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you so much for joining us, man. It's been awesome having you here. Isaac, where can we find you in the webs? I mean, let's let people know who we are. But more importantly, Ryan, where can we find you? Where can we find your work? Do you have a website? Do you have a Twitter handle? What you got going on?
Oh, yeah, sure. I've got most of the things. I have a website. I try and keep it all pretty simple. So my website is literally just my full name, RyanColtLevy.com. Twitter, you could find me at RyanColtLevy. Instagram, RyanColt. Usually if you just type in my full name, you'll find the things. So I try and make it easy that way. So yeah, thank you. Thank you for anyone who has listened, who's going to listen, who has supported, who will support. I appreciate all of you.
Awesome. Isaac, my brother, where can we find you?
Yeah, you can find me over at Emblemaniac on Twitter, and you can find me over at on Amateur Taco Pod.
And you can find me at the Scarlet Fan 52 on Twitter and at the Scarlet Fan 52 on Instagram. And you can find us at the Amateur Taco Pod on Twitter. And the Amateur Taco is available on YouTube. So make sure you click on the like button and click on the bell for notifications so you don't miss any episodes of the Amateur Taco Podcast like this one. Also, we're available wherever podcasts are found: Google Podcasts, Spotify, Radio Public, Stitcher, anywhere that you can think a podcast can appear. That's where the Amateur Taco is, for you to enjoy awesome conversations about the greatest medium of all, or one of them, anime and manga. I think we have a great stuff coming up. Right, Isaac? You guys are doing Vigilantes now, right?
Yeah, we are.
You and Mike?
Yeah, and Leo. So
that is awesome. That is awesome. They're covering the My Hero Academia spinoff, Vigilantes.
Very cool.
We have another episode coming soon where we're going to be talking with the great Rob Moreira as we talk about Fena, Pirate Princess.
Heck yeah. Rob's awesome.
Yeah. He's amazing. He's been a great fan and friend of the show for a very long time, especially when we started. So that's pretty awesome.
I think it's the first time. Shout out to Rob.
Rob, get more with Moreira. But thank you guys, everybody, for joining us. We will see you next time. Have it awesome.
Cheers.
Peace.
Cheers.